This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does. In girls, biblical sense, I am beyond repentant. Fang hooker, sex worker, wench, vow, meta mind. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins to gather to me, which I will. I'm not a prostitute. Sex workers, but I can give you what you want. Sex worker, damn it.
Get some. You tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
You have tuned into the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Thank you to the Covey House. That's your warm and fuzzy variety hour here every Monday night before the Vixen Hour. Another amazing show as always. Thank you to Kevin and Cookie. And tonight we are talking about diversity and sex work. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life, issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice you may have about sex work and hear directly from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are Out Loud and Proud. This is the only community radio program in Australia that is publicly broadcasted direct to your radios, that is entirely presented and produced by sex workers themselves. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. If at any point you'd like to interact with the program, you can do so by sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. You can also send us a text message on your mobile from 0427-JOY-949. That's 0427-569-949. You can also stay connected with the Vixen Hour throughout the week on our Facebook page by going to facebook.com/sex. Worker Radio. We usually post previews for the show and what we're going to talk about, as well as sort of related material. If you ever want to hear it, it's all on our Facebook page, so you can stay connected to the Vixen Hour through there. Tonight, I'm not joined by anyone in the studio. We will, however, be playing a few pre-recorded interviews. Tonight's show is all about the diversity of sex work. So quite often, people think that sex work is brothel or escort or street-based sex work. They often think of full service provision, if you like. But we're actually going to be chatting to the fascinating Lady Ambrosia Noir, who is a professional dominatrix and fetishist, and she'll introduce herself. We'll hear more about her soon. But tonight is sort of exploring sort of the diversity around sex work, so different sexual services, as well as diverse clients and different ways of working. But I thought we might start off with a meme. So it was quite popular a while ago to put out little sound bites. You may have seen a few on Facebook. Shiz people say to a particular group, and there was one for sex workers. So shit people say to sex workers. We've posted it on our Facebook page, so you can see the video there. But tonight I thought I would play the audio so you would all hear it. This will start off our discussion around sex work and diversity. So have a listen. This is shit people say to sex workers.
So I'm really glad you're here. I wanted to talk to you. I'm thinking about possibly doing sex work.
You can't do that and call yourself a feminist.
So what's the weirdest thing you've ever done?
That's not a job. That's just something you're doing to get money.
But how can you be a prostitute? prostitute and be a lesbian.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever date a prostitute.
So, what's the weirdest thing you've ever done?
I guess we all prostitute ourselves one way or another.
Look, I can't help it if you want to normalize your oppression.
But I don't really want to, you know, have to have sex with them.
I could so never do your job.
Well, it's all right for you, but what about all those Asian sex slaves?
Don't you get lots of diseases?
But you're just so smart. You could do anything you wanted to do.
Do you think these make me look like a whore?
Oh, no offense.
Can you give me a freebie?
Weirdest thing you've ever done?
Because it's just not appropriate for a teacher to be a sex worker, because they have to teach our kids morals, and obviously a sex worker isn't the right kind of person to be doing that.
So I was thinking maybe you know of something that I could do where, you know, like I don't really want to have to touch anyone down there.
I'd love to make easy money like you.
I'm just so worried about you. Normal and get a real job. You can't do this forever, you know.
You don't understand that it's not a job. It's violence against women.
Shh, keep your voice down. People hear what you do.
So, what's the weirdest thing you've ever done? Well, it's okay for you. You're a high-class escort. But what about all those poor street hookers?
But can't you see, by selling your body, you're perpetuating the patriarchy?
Don't you worry about getting murdered? Wow, so you must have had a really messed up childhood.
No offence, but I just don't really want you around my children.
I've decided that I just need to ask you this for my mental health. Before you come over tonight, could you please shower? Because if you've been working today.
I think what I really want is for people to give me lots of money and be pretty.
Thanks for listening. Get educated. Visit sexworkerpiechart.tumblr.com, shittheysaytosexworkers.tumblr.com, sexworkerproblems.tumblr.com, titsandsass.com, and everyhoeiknowsaysso.com.
This new game is hilarious. Come watch me kill some hookers.
Thank you to Uppity Whores for putting that meme together. You, like I said, you can find it on our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/sexworkerradio. And I think what that video does is challenge a lot of the stereotypes and, well, highlights a lot of the diverse ideas that people impose upon sex work. And one of the recurring ones that you would have noticed in that meme is people do ask sex workers a lot, and I've been asked this quite commonly, so what's the weirdest thing you've ever done? As if we somehow sort of own weird sexuality. And I thought, you know, tonight's episode is all about diversity. We're talking to a professional dominatrix, so this might be a really good opportunity to actually turn that question around. And so I actually hit the streets of Melbourne, got out there and asked a whole bunch of non-sex workers, well, what's the most unusual thing they'd done sexually and in the bedroom, or the most unconventional thing? Here's what they had to say.
Many different things. I'm very open to anything, ranging from handcuffs to liquid substances. I'm pretty happy with whatever goes.
One time I had sex on a pool table.
I've blindfolded someone and tied them up backwards.
I guess the kinkiest thing I've ever done was have sex with 5 girls on top of an ice hockey table.
Depends on what you think it's unusual, but maybe some water spurt action.
I had an orgy with 4 people.
I went to an all-girls Catholic private school after school one day. I had sex with my girlfriend in the toilets, and we thought that everyone had gone home, and they hadn't, and some of the teachers came into the bathroom, and we had to pause mid-endeavour and keep ourselves really quiet, and then someone saw our bags under the cubicle door, and they were like, is everything okay in there? You know, are there 2 of you in there? Is everything all right? And we just had to say, yeah, we're fine. So-and-so was vomiting or something. It was pretty funny.
Had a guy who took great pleasure in tying up my balls. Took him nearly an hour. It was very entertaining.
Toys.
I once got too drunk and passed out during a threesome.
I tried sounding once. That was about it.
Being a photographer, you can get to be in some pretty interesting situations. Quite often I've been asked by a friend to film some of his scenes. One of the most memorable ones was fisting on a beach in the dunes and having the opportunity to participate later on in the session.
I had a few people walk in on me while me and my guy were having sex, and we just kept going.
I think the most unconventional thing I've done in the bedroom is being Sri Lankan and a lesbian.
I was asked once to join into a community event in a commune. Let's just say there were no doors on the toilets. That might give you an idea of what sort of communal activity it might have been.
So the most unusual thing I've tried was honey as lube. It was fun for the first couple of minutes, and then the honey started to crystallise and we started losing hair in patches. It didn't end up good.
Joy 94.9.
You are here on Joy 94.9 on the Vixen Hour. If at any time you do want to interact with the program, we would love to hear from you. You can text in on 0427 Joy 949.
Joy 94.9.
Speaking of the voices of sex workers, we spoke to the fascinating Ambrosia Noir earlier on in the week, talking about the diversity of sex work, and just playing that interview for you right now.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
We're here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9, and I have the pleasure to be joined with the absolutely fabulous Lady Ambrosia Noir.
Hi, Christian.
Hi, Ambrosia. I was going to call you Lady.
You can call me Lady if you like.
Do people call you Lady?
Sometimes.
Excellent. Now, Lady Ambrosia Noir is not only one of the most beautiful, mysterious, talented...
Don't make me blush.
Ambrosia is also one of the most skilled, well-practiced... I want to say curious, but what I'm trying to say is always wanting to learn something new.
Yeah, absolutely.
Type of sex worker that I know.
Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here on the Vixen Hour. Rather than me harping on about you, I thought I might get you to introduce yourself. So
sure.
Who is Lady Ambrosia Noir?
Well, I work in the sex industry primarily as a dominatrix, a switch, and a fetishist. I've been doing that for about 6 years now, primarily in Melbourne.
Excellent. So just so that people have a bit of an understanding of what those terms are, so what is a fetishist?
A fetishist is someone who eroticizes particular objects or body parts. So, for example, feet or boots, things like that.
Excellent. And you use the term switch.
Yes. I specialize in creating S&M scenes where people are keen to explore both dominant and submissive roles. So I take on both of those roles.
Fantastic. We might talk a bit about that later in our conversation. Mm-hmm. But for now, every week here on the Vixen Hour, we do ask, whenever a new sex worker comes on our show, we do ask them, well, what does sex work mean to you? Because we set this conversation up in our first show that sex work means something different for each individual sex worker, and we can't really have one definition to apply to everyone. So whenever we talk to someone, we do ask them, what does sex work mean to you?
To me, sex work means the exchange of money for sexual services. And my idea of what is sexual is pretty broad. I think it definitely extends beyond penis and vagina sex, which is often what people think of a lot of the time, and into realms like fetish play and phone sex even, webcamming, dancing, any number of erotic acts you can think of.
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with Ambrosia and exploring a number of these issues. So, yeah, you are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Lady Ambrosia, you have a fairly detailed website.
Yes.
And I would describe it as being really, really generous.
It's pretty comprehensive.
Isn't it? Yeah. So you share a lot of your actual story, your personal story.
I do.
As somebody who is a kinkster. Is that, would that be a fair sort of thing to say? And you say... part of your website talks about kink originating in your childhood.
Yes.
wonder if you could talk about that for a little bit.
Sure. Well, whether or not I realised it at the time, and I don't think I did, I was definitely into power play. And, you know, as a very young girl in the playground, I quite enjoyed bullying boys and playing games like cops and robbers and doctor and nurse and stuff that either would get me the chance to boss around boys or have them boss me around in return. So I think that's probably where the seed was planted for me.
I find it interesting because when you think of childhood games, and particularly the ones that you've described, power play seems to be present in a lot of those forms.
Definitely. Power play is a lot of fun.
And you describe it as sort of like you've grown up sort of with this constant awareness of that power play and, in fact, developing it as a part of you.
Definitely. Definitely.
Cool. There's a lot of listeners who would be aware of things like BDSM and kink. But I think people may not be aware of how somebody, I guess, begins to do it professionally. And I'm wondering if you could sort of describe what that process was like.
Sure. I was quite lucky, the opportunities that came up for me. Generally, the route people go down is completing an apprenticeship within a professional dungeon. When I started exploring the local kink scene in Melbourne, I was lucky enough to meet quite an accomplished dominatrix, Mistress Electra, and she became a very good friend of mine. And she helped me secure a job at a dungeon in Melbourne, where I completed really thorough training both with her and a lot of other very accomplished mistresses. So that training went for about a year. It's not a paid process, so you spend a lot of time simply observing sessions, learning how to clean equipment, and getting sort of tutored between sessions on the finer details of certain skills that you pick up. And as time goes on, you slowly get more and more involved in the sessions that you observe, until you are sort of ready to go out on your own and start seeing clients for yourself.
Fantastic. I think people, well, may or may not appreciate the level of skill that's required to be a professional dominatrix, particularly if you're, you know, providing services in a very safe and consensual way.
That's right. And a huge part of the training is learning how to negotiate consent, negotiate boundaries, how health and medical issues might impact on a session, how to minimise risk, and, yeah, a whole lot of other things that are really important safety-wise. So that's why it does take so long, because there are a lot of safety issues that you need to be aware of when you're working as a BDSM professional.
Yeah. So from sort of transitioning from, you know, kink being just a very personal thing to being a professional thing actually does take a lot of, I guess, professional development.
That's right. A lot of time, blood, sweat, tears, and professional development.
Excellent. On your website, you describe yourself as having a soft spot for obscure tastes.
I do. I guess I have a soft spot in general for just people who approach me with something they may feel a bit embarrassed about, something they haven't shared with anyone before, kinks that their partner might not be accepting of, and being able to create a space where that is respected, and not only respected, but, you know, fun is had with it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think what I really sort of like about a statement like that, having, you know, a soft spot for obscure taste, it sort of acknowledges why there are sex workers.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time we are sort of dealing with things that people might feel wouldn't be accepted.
Absolutely.
Generally. Yeah. And even in sort of the kink community.
Yeah. There can be a lot of judgment and shaming about other people's tastes, even within, you know, supposed sex positive communities. So, yes, I like to think it's a good community service.
And I guess liking the obscure stuff means that there is a whole range of tastes that are out there.
An absolute plethora. I have a joke with a friend, if you can think of a sexual perversity, it probably exists.
Fantastic. And you've probably been asked for it. I'm wondering, what sort of needs or tastes do clients sort of come up and ask
you fall?
Well, it's pretty huge. Mm-hmm. Some of the common things that some of the common scenes that I facilitate incorporate bondage, corporal punishment, domination and submission, mm-hmm. exploration of fetishes, cross-dressing and gender play. Mm-hmm. I'm quite skilled at anal play as well, so a lot of people approach me for sessions who are keen to explore anal play further. Heaps of things.
Yeah. Miss any of your favourite shows? Check out our podcast on the Joy website, joy.org.au.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9, and we have received a message from the fabulous Sonia, who hosts an amazing show here on Tuesday night, Sci-Fi and Squeam, and she has said, hey, good points you made on the nonsense people say about sex workers. All great too. The Vox Pops were awesome. The Vox Pops were awesome, and it just goes to show what the diversity of sex work is out there. Now, speaking of S&M and the diversity of sex work, we're going back to our interview with Lady Ambrosia right now.
Well, what are clients asking for? I know that's a really, really abstract question.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I mean, the service exists and, you know, everyone has a certain kink.
What's their intention is in coming to me?
Yeah, behind that.
Oh, gosh, I think there's a lot of different reasons why people come to me asking for the services they ask for. Mm-hmm. I think one of the big ones is just wanting to have fun, mm-hmm. Wanting to get off, wanting connection. Wanting just someone there to witness their enjoyment, wanting to experience roles that they can't ordinarily experience in day-to-day life. Oh, goodness. Those are a few examples. I guess another important one is just enjoying a really different sensory experience as well.
Yeah.
Some people, in some cases, it's a spiritual journey too.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And our clients of, I guess, BDSM service providers, there's this stereotype that they're older men in dark glasses and long trench coats. Without going into any sort of specific clients, is there a type of client?
I don't think there's any one type of client that I see. I do tend to have people who are more mature coming and seeing me, because often it takes that long to get the courage to come and see a mistress, and often it can take quite a few years to figure out what you want for yourself sexually, and that tends to come to people a bit later in life. But I do have people of all ages, all backgrounds come and see me.
Fantastic.
And with all kinds of life experience.
Amazing. You've had a really, really long history in the... Oh, it's making me sound... Oh, rather than saying a long history, I think you've had quite an extensive history.
Yes.
Sort of exploring the sex industry.
I have.
And lots of different roles within it. So you said you did phone sex work.
I did. Mm-hmm. I first dipped my toes into the industry as a phone sex operator. And while I was doing that, I worked from home, utilising a processor based in the States and specialised in fetish calls. And that just seemed to be the kind of client who I would attract. And as it turned out, I was quite good at it and had a lot of fun with it.
Fantastic. A lot of people don't immediately think of phone sex when you say the term sex work.
No.
Do you consider phone sex sex work?
I do. Like I mentioned before, I think sex work is an exchange of money or goods or what have you for erotic acts and erotic services. And talking dirty is definitely an erotic act to me.
Cool. I imagine it would have been quite fun work.
It was really fun work, definitely. And it gave me the chance to get a much greater insight into the array of sexual interests that are out there, which certainly put me in good stead for my career as a mistress.
Excellent. So I'm wondering if you could sort of describe the transition from doing phone sex being a phone sex operator to being a pro dom? Like, was it a big shift or...?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I was quite lucky because I had spent so much time on the phones talking about fetishes in really intimate detail that I came to an apprenticeship with a pretty solid understanding of the psychology behind BDSM and the reasons why people are into it and how they like to explore certain things. So a lot of it was spending time learning about physical skills, like how to use a whip, how to tie people up safely, and, you know, how a mistress makes a session flow beautifully.
Yeah. That's amazing. And it's amazing to hear sort of, it sounded like you had a really, really strong foundation for, established from your time as a phone sex operator. So
I was very lucky like that.
It's a really, it feels like a really natural progression.
Yeah, that's certainly what it felt like for me.
Cool. I think one of the more challenging things for people to understand is, I think people can understand pro-dom work. And that you are always sort of, you're in control and you're in power.
That's right.
And people can see that as, well, that there's a paid role as a, you know, as a job to do that.
Yes.
But when you talked about, like, switching before, I'm wondering...
People get nervous when you talk about switching and working professionally as a submissive.
Yeah.
People automatically assume that it's quite an unsafe thing to do, letting someone gag you and tie you up or blindfold you or spank you. But there's a lot of skills involved and you maintain quite a lot of control while you're doing it.
Right.
And it's all completely consensual, so you do negotiate things very well and you've got a lot of safety systems in place.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give away my secrets on the air, but there's a lot of tips and tricks that we share amongst ourselves to make sure that it's a safe thing to do. And yeah, it's good fun.
That's fantastic. So I think people don't, I think people might not understand that immediately.
No.
That it, like, you, yes, you may be in the position of being a submissive.
Yeah.
But it is still...
It's role play.
Absolutely.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's just about having some fun.
Yeah. And it's safe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you, I guess going through an apprenticeship and learning different ways of being safe...
Yes.
...means that a professional isn't learning that on the job.
That's right. The other thing with pro sub work as well is because I trained up as a dominatrix, I know how things need to be done safely. So I can actually teach my dominant clients how to do things safely with me when I'm in a submissive role. So, yeah, I guess my job is definitely that of a sex educator as well.
Excellent. And extending that definition of sex.
Yeah.
Beyond, like you said, it's not just penis vagina.
We're educators as well.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when you say sex educator, most people think of sex education being STIs and, you know, how to stop the spread of infections and things like that. But what you've described just then is people need to be educated around things like consent and negotiated safety.
That's exactly right.
So and those things are part of sex as well.
Yeah. And also just fun stuff like fleshing out the details of what someone's interested in so that, you know, a sexual encounter can be as exciting as possible.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fantastic.
Not what you get taught in high school.
No, not at all. We say that and we, like, it's almost, like, sex workers have an acute awareness and particularly BDSM workers have acute awareness of safety and consent and stuff. And I just wonder, how do people not consider this, like, compulsory education?
That's what I wonder too. I think it's quite sad how limited the sex education is that we receive as teenagers. And I think a lot of people end up in sticky situations as adults because of that. We don't learn about how to do consent well or how we can explore sex in ways that are satisfying and nourishing.
Fantastic. You're listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and I'm joined by the amazing Lady Ambrosia Noir.
Great shows, fun people, Joy 94.9.
I wanted to talk about the range of services that you provide.
Sure.
Because you have quite an extensive list. Again, your website is like so generous with information. You describe switching, role play, bondage, corporal punishment, anal play, cock and ball torture, fetishes, water sports, erotic hypnosis, forced by, tease and denial, wrestling, gender play, humiliation, age play, splashing?
Yeah.
Or wet and messy?
Yeah.
A whole range of things. The possibilities are endless, really.
Yeah.
We probably don't have enough time to talk about all of those.
No.
And without giving away any sort of secrets, are there certain services that you like to do more than others?
Oh, my favourites often fluctuate.
Uh-huh.
Gosh, what are some of my favourites at the moment? I really enjoy sessions that focus on anal play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a certified somatic sexologist.
Oh, great. So for people who aren't familiar with that term, what is a
basically, somatic a somatic sexologist is someone who is trained in helping people to reach their full erotic potential. And so there are a lot of various skills we have to help people achieve that through breath work, forms of meditation, erotic massage, pelvic release work,
mm-hmm.
scar tissue remediation, things like that. I primarily use those skills as a dominatrix for people who are interested in anal exploration and expanding, yeah, the possibilities of their anus.
Excellent.
I do a lot of external anal massage, pelvic release for people who are interested in anal dilation, mm-hmm. fisting, strap-on sex, things like that, as well as methods of breathing that can, allow that to be more pleasurable and relaxing.
Fantastic. Now, you're cis female.
Yes.
And I am making an assumption that the majority of clients you see are cis male.
Yes, the majority are.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some people who come and see me who are trans women from mm-hmm. time to time, but may not necessarily be out in the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some cisgendered women who see me, but usually they come with a cisgendered male partner as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
so
pretty
clients
fun.
Themselves are quite diverse, not only in sort of the needs that they're wanting to address,
yes.
but also in terms of gender and sexuality.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's amazing. And the reason I ask is because when you talk about anal play,
yes,
yeah, it's not an automatic, I guess, default thing that people think of is people who may be entirely heterosexual engaging with a prodomina for anal play.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. And, some people have concerns about engaging the services of someone like me when they explore anal because they may worry that it means that they're gay and have some, internalised homophobia around that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So coming and seeing me can be really reassuring.
Yeah.
That
they're obviously engaging the service of anal play.
Yeah.
Do they ever talk about those other issues? Like those?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We talk about it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And some people get a bit more confident in their masculinity and their sexuality after sessions, which is really great. But some people come and see me who are attracted to men as much as they are to women as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I help to facilitate that as well.
Fantastic. So as well as exploring anal play, you're also exploring non-heterosexual sexuality.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I do facilitate orgies and group sex scenes for
between guys.
Yeah. So I've got some slaves who'll come along and help out for people wanting to do that. So they're very lucky slaves.
Uh-huh.
We all have a lot of fun together.
Fantastic. So are they always gay men or are they heterosexual men who want to be dominated?
I don't think it's necessarily obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make any assumptions, nor do I ask, because I don't think it's important for me to know where someone's at with their sexual identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, because I think we sort of live in a time where, people have to pick a side.
Yeah, people become quite obsessed with it.
Mm.
And I just don't think it's that important.
Yeah, wow.
Mm.
That's incredible. So you're someone who's constantly... One of the things that I... One of the services that you provide is erotic hypnosis.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could describe what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I use a lot of conventions in hypnosis to help guide people into trance states so that they can explore, various sexy themes in a trance, whether that's helping them develop new sexual interests or heightening arousal or exploring power through mind control fantasies and things like that.
So it is actually quite a diverse...
Massively diverse, yeah.
Service. Wow.
So I make recordings for some people and some people come and see me for flesh and blood sessions as well.
That's amazing.
Mm.
And we have to talk about splashing. Just because, well, it's funny, somebody posted on Facebook, has anyone heard splashing before? And I was like...
I'll ask Ambrosia.
Well, actually, the first time I heard the word splashing, I knew what it was before. But the first time I actually heard the term splashing used was in Secret Diary of a Call Girl.
Oh, right.
And I saw that and I was like...
That's a good episode, isn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. But I'd heard it being described as wet and messy.
Yeah.
Can you give a definition of what splashing is?
Splashing is basically when you get sexual enjoyment out of playing with really messy food. So everything from custard to baked beans, cream pies, chocolate topping, cakes, tarts, everything. So, you know,
it sounds delicious.
It is.
Yeah. It sounds really fattening. I know we don't have sort of consent to talk about like particular
what a session might look like.
So what would a splashing session look like?
So a lot of the time when people come to me for splashing, you know, I'm in a dominant role, so I'll be hurling food at them and making them fuck cakes or throwing a cream pie in their face to humiliate them erotically. But I have switched to for wet and messy scenes before and had a custard thrown on my body and things like that. I did a custard wrestling session once as well.
Amazing. I imagine there would be a lot of protective sheets.
There's a lot of trips to Bunning for Tub Haulins and the like. Yeah, walking on food and making people eat it. A lot of ways you can do it.
Amazing.
Forced feeding.
Yeah. It's not just 9.5.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Talk about diversity. We are now going to the last bit of our conversation with Lady Ambrosia. Here we go.
We are talking to Lady Ambrosia Noir here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. Just for this last bit of the conversation, so here on the Vixen Hour, we do talk a lot about stereotypes that sex workers experience. But when people hear about the clients of BDSM workers or people who are providing more sort of esoteric services.
Yeah.
I hate that term. It sounds so like, what you're doing is magical. That they're somehow deviants or... They're sort of stigmatized in a very particular way.
Absolutely.
As if they're weird or perverse.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you could talk about, you know, are those stereotypes true? You know, what are clients actually like?
I don't think those stereotypes are true at all. And I think that's why people have to be so discreet about coming to see me, because those stereotypes do exist and people will judge them for having, you know, supposedly weird sexual interests that are a bit left of centre, that they're perverted. Yeah, it's kind of scary, the stigma that my clients do face.
Yeah. And do clients talk to you about things like rejection?
Yeah, absolutely. They may have a partner or have had a partner in the past who they shared their kinkier interests with and were totally shut down. That's a fairly common story, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would imagine that sort of, that level of intimate rejection, because, you know, when you're with a partner, you're a lot more vulnerable.
It's very wounding.
Yeah, I imagine that to be quite traumatic.
Yeah.
Do you deal with, I guess, I don't want to sort of stereotype clients as being, you know, traumatized.
Damaged, yeah.
But you would surely see a lot of people who are dealing not so much with, like, you know, traumatic childhoods or anything, but just...
Trust issues.
Yeah, and general social stigma.
Absolutely. And it can be really, nourishing seeing a sex worker or a dominatrix, because you can explore your sexual interests in an environment where you're not judged for who you are. And you can, rebuild trust if that was lost in the past. And so there's definite therapeutic benefits to seeing a mistress.
And for someone who is so concerned with things like safety and consent and negotiation, I imagine you would be quite experienced at maintaining boundaries so that that damage or trauma or their sense of rejection doesn't get transferred onto you.
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been an absolutely fascinating and eye-opening discussion, and I want to thank Lady Ambrosia Noir for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And if there's any sort of any last thoughts or anything that that you would like people to know about BDSM practitioners, their clients,
just that we're highly skilled workers, and that we should be treated with as much respect as any other member of the community.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ambrosia.
Thank you for having me, Christian.
Yay. You're on the Mixing Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Fixin' Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9, and we have come to the end of our show. I do want to say a very big special thank you to the fabulous Lady Ambrosia Noir. You can find more information about her. We'll post a link on our Facebook page. But I'd also like to thank a couple of people who sent in messages. Kathy McGee, just loving your show tonight. Lady Ambrosia is unreal. And we also had a lovely message from Tian from Lay Link, who you can hear on a Wednesday night on Joy 94.9, News and Current Affair from a lesbian's perspective. Thanks, Tian. It has come to the end of the show, though. Next week on the Vixen Hour, we will be talking about all things coming out. Now, you might know what that's like from a GLBTIQ perspective, but for sex workers, that issue is quite different. So be sure to tune in. It will be a fascinating show. If at any point you would like to stay connected to the Vixen Hour, you can do so by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. But otherwise, you can connect with us via Twitter at Vixen Hour. Next week will be all about coming out. This has been the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
A voice for sex workers, the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.